Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. How do these things keep getting so long? The world needs to slow the heck down so I can have a life. Anyway, there's a time-sensitive item in here, so let's get to it. First off, congratulations to Blair Walsingham for officially winning her primary. Since her opponents had already conceded, it was a bit of a formality, but still. Now the real battle begins to get her through the general. Second, Lacey Delane has organized an election not selection protest in Atlanta against the committee appointment of a representative to fill Lewis's seat in the House for the next 2 years. I didn't have enough notice on the game plan, so this might be coming too late, but if you're in or near Atlanta, show your support for the democratic process that John Lewis fought all his life for today, August 7th at 501 Polonam Street Southwest. It started at 4 p.m. Eastern, so not sure if it's still going on. Can't hurt to check, though. If you live in Virginia, be aware that you will have a chance to end gerrymandering of districts by voting yes on Initiative 1 for fair maps this November. If you're not familiar, gerrymandering is the process of drawing the lines for voting districts in such a way as to virtually guarantee one side or the other will win, disenfranchising everyone in the district who does not support the dominant party, and eliminating competition for that party's candidates, meaning they have no reason to appeal to all voters, which encourages them to be more radical and partisan. This measure would include citizens in the redistricting process, making the process transparent, and banning gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is one of the leading causes of dysfunction in government. Please do all that you can to support these efforts to oppose it. The new unemployment numbers for the week are in and show the first decline in a while, with headline unemployment of 1.2 million, not counting PUA or other discrepancies that would push it up to 16 million actually on unemployment. For a full breakdown, follow the link in the podcast description. More importantly, according to a survey conducted by Cornell University and the U.S. Private Sector Job Quality Index, between July 23rd and August 1st, at least 31% of workers who went back to work after being initially laid off or furloughed in the first wave of COVID-19 job losses have been laid off a second time. The second wave layoffs were actually higher in states that were not experiencing new spikes in COVID cases. In the words of Cornell Law School senior fellow and adjunct professor Daniel Albert, quote, "What this is telling us is that this is not an issue of the virus expanding around the country. It's not an issue of hotspots expanding. It's an issue that is systemic and related to the CARES Act and PPP issue itself, the fact that it was limited to 8 weeks of wages," end quote. Beyond layoffs, the survey found that 37% of Americans employed by third-party employers, meaning not self-employed, have been laid off or furloughed since March. As many as 39% of those put back on payroll reported that they were asked not to return to work, even though they were being paid. This is strong evidence that the economy will continue to suffer far beyond the peak of the new COVID resurgence if we do not pass emergency UBI. Share it, bookmark it, send it to your representatives. To follow up on yesterday's Amazon Smile announcement, if you use the Amazon app to make purchases, you can go to Settings, Amazon Smile, select Humanity Forward, and turn on Generating Donations. If you haven't used Smile before, you'll need to go to smile.amazon.com for the first time setup. And just like that, 0.5% of all your purchases will go to Humanity Forward. You can also find the Humanity Forward Smile link below if you don't see it in the list. Dan Price tweeted something which we should all know but is worth repeating. Meritocracy is a myth. Specifically, what Dan pointed out was some of the advantages the people we think of as being self-made billionaires had in building their empires. For instance, Bill Gates got his deal with IBM through his mother's connections. Jeff Bezos got a $250,000 grant from his parents. A study found that over 60% of the Forbes 400 grew up in substantial privilege with inheritance up to $1 million. Even if these people were scrappy self-made entrepreneurs, the fact there are so few of them would give lie to the meritocracy, and the fact is they didn't make it on their own or from nothing. There are millions of people out there who have worked harder throughout their lives than these billionaires ever did, and yet have gotten nowhere. Some of them are very intelligent as well. The fact of the matter is, making it big in America is not a result of hard work or intellect alone, It is largely a result of circumstance. Some people are born into far more opportunity than others, and it makes a big difference when you have startup money, connections to wealthy donors and industry leaders, easy access to good education, time, space, and security to pursue interests, research, and experiment. These are the factors of opportunity we need to be providing to as many people as we possibly can if we want an optimally productive, innovative, and happy society. It benefits us all when we all have the opportunity to meet our full potential. This is what UBI is about: opportunity and freedom. And if we have to divert some of the profits from those who did have the opportunity and made it big in order to provide that opportunity to others, that should be an easy choice to make. Society gave those people a boost over the wall, and the sensible response is for them to turn and pull society up after them. That is how we all succeed together. On that note, Giselle Huff wrote an eloquent article about how most of us are living life on the rails of a dressed-up caste system made of elites and laborers. She relates it to Plato's cave and calls for a revolution now in this time of upheaval when we can all see the cracks in the illusion woven around us. A glitch in the matrix, if you will. We're told there's no money for bettering the lives of the people, yet the bailouts give lie to that. We're told that people are happy with their work, but that they won't do it willingly. We're told that things have always been the way they are and always will be, yet everything has changed. People's eyes are opening, and we must lead them to break the chains that bind us all, elite and worker alike. Yang, Beto O'Rourke, and Donna Imam got together for a discussion on Donna's chances of flipping Texas blue, and it's now available below. I also have to shout out the most recent episode of Yang Speaks, in which Scott Galloway gives resounding endorsement for Yang's education policies. Scott, a college educator himself, goes through listing all the problems he sees with college education and what he thinks should be done to fix it, and I kid you not, every single one of his suggestions is a Yang policy. It was both hilarious and heartening. Yang didn't even point it out, he just agreed. I suggest bookmarking that episode if you ever need to provide some credibility for Yang's education policies. Yang also had a heated Twitter discussion on journalism yesterday that seems worth reading. Quote, "I think journalists should go harder after the industry issues you do see. It's harder and harder to make a living in a field that is vital to our future. I'm pro-journalist and think that you all have an increasingly difficult and impossible job to do. We have to change it. If there's a young person thinking about journalism as a field, more and more in the industry try to steer them away. The winner-take-all economic dynamics are very much in effect, but there are fewer and fewer winners. It's a disaster over time. Literally thousands of journalists have seen their colleagues get washed out with the tide of digitization and consolidation. Tech titans buy major media outlets as highbrow indulgences. The market is compressing the value of journalism, and we are all suffering for it. Anyone objectively looking at it has to despair for the future of journalism because our attention has become diffuse and cheap, and consumers are largely conditioned not to pay for it. Instead of celebrating the few hardy exceptions, we have to mend the system, and yes, I have some ideas," end quote. Those ideas being the American Journalism Fellows and Local Journalism Fund, which are ways of publicly funding journalism, links below if you're unfamiliar. Profitization of media has turned them away from journalism and into entertainment, which has turned many citizens away from mainstream media and toward radical online echo chambers, which has turned them away from facts and logic in general, which is quickly leading to the destruction of our civilization. That is how important it is that we figure out how to get back to ethical news reporting, and public funding seems the only way, as was the way in the golden age of news. Finally, we now have a date for the first fireside chat with Heidi and Andrew. It will be on August 11th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, and we'll have Blair Walsingham and Donna Imam as guests. Here's to hoping that there will be video with Yang sitting in a cushy armchair next to a roaring fire. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Congratulate Blair, check out the protest, garner support to end gerrymandering, support humanity forward through Amazon Smile, bookmark the Galloway episode, help recruit other organizations to the cause and get everyone to sign the UBI petitions, flood Congress and Trump with calls, tweets, and letters, using the ResistBot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need financial help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, United Way, or the H3 Podcast Thread. And don't forget to Yang Daily.